Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson just read from St. Matthew. What troubling words we hear from Jesus in the gospel lesson for today. He says, "Do you suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." What troubling words these are from Jesus' lips. But doesn't the prophet Isaiah say of Jesus, "Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace"? Isn't it Jesus who tells Peter to put away his sword in the garden on the night when he was betrayed? How then can this same Jesus say, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have not come to bring peace, but division"? We are presented with what seems like a contradiction that may cause us to question Jesus' mission and God's plan of salvation. But the answer to this problem is the gospel message itself. Jesus did not come to bring peace on earth, but to make peace between God and man. The sword that Jesus brings is not of this world, and neither is God's peace. Jesus says, in fact, "My kingdom is not of this world." The sword that he carries that divides truth from error is his word. It penetrates hearts, convicts of sins, and it causes division. People don't like to hear his word of law. I certainly don't like to hear his word of law. No one wants to hear about their sin, and they don't want anyone else to know about it either. So when God's word of law begins to reveal sin, it is clear how it divides families and households and tribes and nations, and why it causes so much unrest. Our Lord's peace is not seen in peace treaties and trade agreements in this world, for it is hidden in his violent death and in his innocent shed blood. It is cloaked in very simple things, in the words, in the water of holy baptism, in the bread and wine of holy communion. You understand these things, but the world does not. And yet the world of our day is no different than the world of Jesus' day. Everyone still wants a Jesus that will create peace between warring nations, that will give us assurance of a quiet and peaceful life, that will make us prosperous and successful. Everyone wants a Jesus who is able to unite Christians and Jews and Hindus and Muslims and every other religion and denomination under the sun. But this is the wrong view of who Jesus is and what he does. There is only one way of truth, only one way of salvation, only one path of righteousness, only one name given under heaven by which men must be saved. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. This, of course, is an unpopular, intolerant, and even hateful teaching that is not going to bring about earthly peace. Rather, it is only going to create division and strife. But who can deny that this is the truth of God's word? Because the world doesn't like or believe in our Savior or his word, they aren't going to like his church's stand against abortion, euthanasia, homosexual marriage, women pastors, closed communion, and so many other things. But I hope that you realize it really isn't you and me that the world has a problem with. It's God's Word. It's Jesus Christ that they don't like and that they don't agree with. They will call us intolerant and closed-minded and unloving. But it is in these very things, in these exact issues, that we see that God's Word is true. We see how His Word divides families and friends and nations. His Word brings conflict on earth because it calls sin what it really is, sin. Because it exposes evil. And because it clearly divides truth from falsehood. In the Old Testament lesson today, you heard about the prophet Hananiah, who prophesied about the Israelites' return from exile and about peace in the land. You also heard Jeremiah confront him and say that his prophecy was a lie and a false hope that the Lord had not told him to speak. The Israelites had abandoned God and broken His commands, and because of that, God had given them over to the Babylonians. That's why they were in captivity. Hananiah's prophecy of upcoming peace was false. For how can there be peace between God and Baal? How can there be peace between a false God and the triune God? Later in the chapter, from a section that you did not hear in our lesson, we learn that Hananiah's life was taken from him for his false prophecy. He spoke of unity and peace where there was to be no unity and peace. We can only speak what God has given us to speak from His Word. We sin when we look for earthly peace among the nations and between the different religions and then blame God when we do not find it. We sin when we think that an outward appearance of peace is God-pleasing when there is no real agreement in Jesus Christ and His Word and sacraments. Jesus has told us clearly that He did not come to bring peace on earth. This means that in fact we should expect to see division and strife where God's Word is preached and taught in its truth and purity. Was it any different in Jesus' own lifetime? He spoke the truth, and they crucified Him. But God used what was meant for evil to bring about our salvation. When we hear Jesus' words, "I have come to turn a man against his father," we cannot help but think about how, because of our sins, Jesus became an enemy to His Father. His Father literally poured out the entire cup of wrath upon His only begotten Son, who had taken on the sins of the whole world. Our sins did that. Our sins caused a division between the Father and the Son. Our sins caused the perfect Son of God to die a sinner's death. This message is foolishness to the Gentiles and a stumbling block to the Jews. But it is life and salvation to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus went to the cross with your sins, your questioning of God's Word, your wondering if maybe the world is right, your fear of offending others with the truth, and your desire to be liked by everyone, all of these things are forgiven. Because Jesus went to the cross with your sins, all of your sins, no matter how great they may be, have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, your sin no longer separates you from your heavenly Father. Because Jesus has made peace between God and man with His own life. Yes, the devil will continue to parade your sins before you. The world will continue to persecute you, and your sinful flesh will always tempt you to sin. But peace with God has been made, and your salvation is sure and certain. God's word brings division in our world, but Jesus brings an otherworldly peace that passes all human understanding, a peace that the world does not know, a peace that the world cannot give. When your Heavenly Father looks at you, He doesn't see your sin, but only the precious blood of His Son that has made you as white as snow. He sees the sign of the Holy Cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, and He watches joyfully as you eat and drink the body and blood of His Son, which was given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth, but He did come to earth, and He has made peace between God and man. This is the precious gospel. He is our salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.